This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, ho, ho, ho there, Wisconsin, and thank you, Don Rue. Good morning, everybody. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, December 24th. It's Christmas Eve, 2024. And it's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. And whether it's on the radio or by app or by podcast or on social media, we appreciate you starting your Christmas Eve right here. So I got a question for you. Where'd you end up? It's Christmas Eve. Where'd you end up? The naughty list or the nice list? Or did you already exchange presents and it's too late? No backsies now. Now you can be as naughty as you want. However it works out, however your gifts are given, I hope that it goes extremely well for you, that you get all the things that you asked Santa for. We will be off tomorrow. Christmas music starts later tonight with a special show, and then throughout the day tomorrow, we will have some shows that look back at 2024 on Thursday and Friday. And then I'll be off for a couple of days, but next week, Monday, Tuesday, Greg Bach and Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be filling in from 6 to 8 a.m. next Monday and Tuesday, so you'll want to tune in for all of that. Today, just a lot of looking back at 2024 from the standpoint of news headlines and guests and topics. We spend a little extra time with Sherita Booker. She's our social media manager, and normally we talk to her for like 5 minutes a week. So take a little extra time just to get to know Sherita. Much like on how our shows later this week, we spend extra time just talking to Melissa Baldoff and Joe Zepecki, our favorite little power couple, about their year in Wisconsin politics. But we'll have Sherita coming up a little later today. If you'd like to reach the show by phone or by text, our number is 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Again, you can use that Civic Media app as well to either call or text the show. And if you're watching on Facebook or on YouTube, put something in the comments section. We may see it and pop it up on screen. You can always email us, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Temperatures around Wisconsin, 29 in Chippewa Falls right now. Hayward is at 25, Amory 28. Wausau, 25 degrees right now. La Crosse, 32. Wisconsin Rapids, 24. Green Bay is 27. Madison, 31. It's 28 in Waukesha. And in the only tropical place that is above freezing right now at Radio Park in Racine, it is a toasty 33 degrees, where we welcome in our favorite beach bum, Greg Bach.
Who's it?
Well, that works as well. Yes. Good morning, Mr. Bach. How are you feeling festive?
I am getting there.
I would think that dominating Packer win last night would help. It certainly looked festive at Lambeau Field last night.
I mean, definitely. I'm very happy that Green Bay Packers won the game last night against the insert opposing team here. Oops.
No, this is not the pre-recorded show. That's later. We're live. We're here. And by the way, update, since we talked to Kristen Lyerly, she was about to make the big drive from Hibbing, Minnesota to Green Bay. And yes, when I woke up this morning to a photo text of her looking all happy in the stands, she did make it to Lambeau Field in time.
Of course she did.
Yes. And with Bob Dylan right next to her. It was pretty amazing.
I like these Green Bay Packers. They're really good.
She can talk anybody into anything. But hopefully, well, obviously she was safe on the roads. Hopefully careful. There's a possibility of some freezing dense fog out there that could ice up the roads. So be careful wherever you're going. Do you have any road trips over the next few days, or are you more of a homebody?
So today we will go to my sister's house for Christmas Eve. And then we're going to come home and then go to my mother-in-law's house tomorrow for Christmas. So not a whole lot of traveling. My sister Amy and her husband, they live about 25 minutes away from us in Illinois, and then mother-in-law lives in Racine, so it's real easy driving. I don't have to get in like, all right, everybody, we're first stops in 2 hours, better hold it.
Yeah, right. I'll be enduring that at some point this week with the drive to Kalamazoo, where you know where the last oasis is before you really get into Chicago, and then you know you got nothing until you cross into Indiana and you start hitting the oasis or truck stops out that way. So it's like, well, you got a problem. Plus, you got a problem.
I'm sorry. I mean, I love Indiana. I got family there, but their oasises are not as good as Illinois' oasises.
No, they're not. And I don't know why that is. I mean, they charge tolls all over the place. They should be using that money for something.
What I do like about Indiana Oasis is that they're easy on and off. They're not like a ramp up and over. Mm-hmm. It's just, there you go. We're here. Come on back on.
And there you are. Easy off, easy on. That's all you look for on a road trip, you know?
Welcome to Two Old Men Talk About Driving.
Well, you know what? When Dr. Lyley passes through now, there's a brand new Culver's here in Chippewa Falls that they built over here by us. It's her new favorite because, again, easy off, easy on over at the Chippewa Crossing here. So, you know, you don't even have to be an old guy. You know, Dr. Lyley's relatively young. By relatively, we mean in spirit younger than all of us ever.
Yeah.
But so that's what we look for in our road trips. So we've got our own coming up here as well. Hey, congratulations to our grown-up gift list text to win grand prize winners. They included, this is kind of like Santa's list. We don't have last names here, but we want to thank Chris for listening on WCQM, Angie, who listens on WMDX, Michelle texted in from WFHR, Rosemary tuned in from the 93.5 The Tap in Chippewa Falls, Evelyn from WMDX, Ann listening on WAUK, and Dan streaming on WLCX. Those were our grand prize winners in the grown-up gift list, and I am quite certain there will be plenty of contests in 2025 to deal with as well. And in the really the real competition there is that Todd Alba's listeners had more entries than Jane Mattinair's.
Oh.
But it wasn't by much.
Oh, you, thank
the,
you.
The Matt,
thank
the
you
Mattinair
for that.
And your crew.
Thank you for that, Pat. I really appreciate here, that here gentle your, reminder.
Here, let me put your participation trophy ribbon on you. There
we
you
got
go.
Beat by 84 votes. It's not like he crushed us like he did to Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
At 6 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, I know.
So
on not nearly as many stations. Yeah, but we, you know what? We did. We were respectable.
I got you
hear
a participation
that,
candy bar.
We were respectable. That's my story. And I'm sticking to it. So we talked about the Packers being winners last night against New Orleans. It was not even close. And the funny thing is, you know, that some games just don't go your way. Although for the Packers, that's only been against, you know, teams in our own division. But where I was watching the game last night, people were like, you know, well, the Packers are 14 point favorites. And most people say, no, I wouldn't take that bet. You know, it's thinking it might be a close game. It was not. The Packers clinched a wild card playoff berth by producing their most lopsided win in a decade, 34-0, over the hapless New Orleans Saints on Monday night, as the Associated Press describes them. I've never been described as hapless before. Josh Jacobs gained 107 yards from scrimmage. He scored a touchdown for a sixth straight game. Only one Green Bay Packer has done that more often. Guy you might remember had the anniversary of his birth yesterday or the day before. Paul Hornung had a 7-game streak in 1960. Jordan Love went 16 for 28, 182 yards, and a passing touchdown. Christian Watson did leave the game with a knee injury, leading to a little concern there. The Packers are now 11-4. Again, just losing to NFC teams. The Packers put themselves into the postseason for the fifth time in the past 6 years with Matt LaFleur as head coach. The Packers have won 9 of their last 11 games. And meanwhile, the Detroit Lions are still trying to fend off the Minnesota Vikings as those two fight for the division title. In fact, the Packers' next game is next Sunday in Minneapolis to take on the Vikings. That game, if you haven't heard already, has been flexed, as they like to say. So instead, it is no longer a noon game on Sunday. The Packers-Vikings game is at 3:25 on Sunday, and you can hear that game on stations in Richland Center, Park Falls, and Kenosha. Head over to civicmedia.us to learn more.
What does that mean, flexed?
Flexible scheduling, meaning the NFL can move you wherever they want to move you. So if you've been flexed, it means you made plans and you got to change your plans. Yeah. Tony writing on YouTube about, Josh Jacobs was just, he was just dragging defenders along. And these are not small men, these defenders, but his legs, he can just power in, and I'm just so impressed with him this year.
Me too. Football.
Thank you. There you go. Hey, yay, sports.
All I cared about is when I looked in the paper. That's right, kids. I said the paper. Ask your meemaw. I looked in the paper, and I saw that the Jets lost last weekend. All right. I'm good.
Yep. Do you really still read a newspaper?
No. I look at my phone.
Okay. See, here I thought I'd finally have. I have one friend. My old college buddy, Kevin, who still religiously goes out to the driveway, and I tell him, why do you let somebody litter your driveway every day? There's some schmutz over there on the driveway. He's like, that's a newspaper. I'm like, tell me more about this newspaper thing. And he doesn't like that, but he's also my only Luddite friend who's not on social media either. So
I would subscribe to the Kenosha newspaper. I'm not any of the fancy newspapers, because it just no. I'll about read those online, but there's something about reading the local paper. I like. Also, the Jets are 4-11. Wow.
The Schadenfreude that we're enjoying here in Wisconsin is.
I feel bad for feeling this
delicious.
Good towards my friends in New York and the Jets who play on the team, but like I just want Aaron Rodgers to fail, and he's doing it. Yeah. Thank you. Christmas is real.
Spectacularly. The Milwaukee Bucks beat the Chicago Bulls on Monday, 112-91, without Giannis Antetokounmpo and Damian Lillard. Giannis reported back spasms. Lillard was out sick. So a little teamwork filled the gaps. Chris Middleton and Brooke Lopez each scored 21 points. Bobby Portis added 19. And so coming up next for the Bucks, they will host Brooklyn on Thursday. So it feels like there will be 500 NBA games on Christmas Day, but not the Bucks. They will be it on Thursday. And so let's pause right here. And when we come back, we will talk, as we always do on Tuesdays, to Sharita Booker. We'll have her hang around for a couple of segments here, learn more about what folks are reacting to in terms of posts that you find on Up North News through Facebook and Instagram and TikTok. And then we'll talk in the break, the segment after that, just a little bit about Christmas for Sharita Booker and her family. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this Christmas Eve morning, when you're here, you're up north from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlum.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Let's visit now with Sharita Booker, social media manager here on this Christmas Eve. Sharita, how are you?
Good. How are you, Pat?
Very good. Let's get into some seasonal treats as we look at some of the more popular posts on social media over the past week or so. And the first one is about as holiday-ish as it gets. I almost said holiday-ish because it's almost a Danish, but it's a Kringle. And it's a Kringle. A lot of places in Wisconsin make Kringles, but you look for your own little niche out there where you can find it. And one of our more popular posts mentioned something unique about one bakery in Racine. Tell us more about that, Sharita.
Yeah, so it's Benson's Bakery. It's the only remaining Racine bakery that still makes its 36-layer Kringle by hand. And that bakery was founded in 1934 by Danish immigrant Lourdes Bent Benson. And the bakery has stayed in the family for four generations. Today, Lourdes' great-grandson, Ben, runs the show and continues to keep the family recipe a secret. That post had more than 2,000 likes on our Facebook page, and Karen said, Benson's is our favorite Kringle. When we moved from Waukesha to Racine, we tried all of the Kringle spots, and it was a unanimous vote in our house. The almond macaroon variety is divine. And Michelle said, I love the fact that they still get up every morning super early to make Kringles by hand. They're truly authentic.
There was also a comment in here about how when somebody's partner was serving in Afghanistan, they would ship Kringles over, and that the Kringles were always a big hit, you know, because they're that good. And again, to be fair, there are plenty of places around Racine that make Kringles as well, and some people prefer them to others. If you want, you go into the comment section here, and there's, like you said, no shortage of feedback. I mean, just on Facebook alone, well over 300 comments that mention other places you might want to consider as well. So, you know, again, a great move out of Benson's Bakery, and just a good commercial overall for the Wisconsin Kringle. It's just kind of weird, Sherita, to think that, you know, it's like, why is this not made anyplace else? You know, other states just don't see anything like this. But then again, I see the Canadians inventing poutine, and I go, wait a minute, that's as Wisconsin as it gets. You know, it's cheese curds, it's gravy, you know, it's so I guess it's just our own little claim to fame, the unique little Kringle.
Absolutely.
You did I ask if you had a favorite flavor or if you've got those very often? Because I still just, you know, much like cherry pie, love a good cherry Kringle.
I like apple.
You're an apple one? Okay.
Yeah, apple lover.
And like I said, there's places that have the catalogs too. And so a little late now, but they do make a great gift if you ever want to mail something like that to somebody else. All right. So that's at the really desirable end of the food scale. At the really opposite end, in my view, is it's not just how do we put this? It's not really a food. It's not really a drink. It's the garnish on the drink. And the word garnish is doing a lot of work in this case. Sherita, tell us more.
Woody's Bar and Grill in Heartland had a weekend drink special, which featured their Keith Cannibal Bloody, which was a Bloody Mary made with Tito's Vodka, their award-winning bloody mix, and garnished with raw beef, red onion, and rye bread, aka a cannibal sandwich. And we all know what those are in Wisconsin. Debbie said, my dad would have been on this like white on rice. And Lisa said, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, possibly dessert.
No. your ground beef needs to be cooked. It needs to be cooked to a proper temperature, and not having those pathogens and things that can make you quite ill. And yes, I know there are people that this is like tradition for them. But you know, it wasn't necessarily a tradition for your ancestors. You know why? Because the spoiled meat killed some of them. So there's my very subtle take on a garnish for a Bloody Mary that's like 6 inches tall. It's a triple decker raw ground beef sandwich. Not going to be my cup of tea or Bloody Mary. I don't know, Sherita, maybe you disagree.
No, I try a lot of things, but raw meat is where I draw the line. Couldn't do it.
Yep. Again, depends on the food. You know, there's a medium rare steak out there that can be cooked to a proper temperature. Still good, still pink and juicy, but raw, I don't know. And that's a lot of work to get to a Bloody Mary. That's another thing. You know, the garnishes on some of these things are getting a little out of hand. I don't want like a Mayflower moving van to have to come up and move my garnish just for me to get at my drink, you know?
Yeah, like I like to just have the bloody by itself, maybe a couple things, a couple olives, a few cheese curds, but I don't want the entire meal as my drink.
At that point, it's, you know, it's just for photo purposes. But okay, now we'll hear from folks all about how much the big garnish means to them. But you know where to reach us, folks. You know where the comment sections are. Okay, let's go now to an episode of cuteness over here. And let's see, where were we? We're Lake Menomon in Menominee is where this post comes from, Sherita.
Yeah, so we put start them young. We put up a photo of a 5-year-old girl, Clara, from Wisconsin, who went fishing with her dad. Or ice fishing, I should say. Her mom says she even loves to watch her dad clean the fish, and she also loves helping her dad process deer. That post had more than 2,000 likes, and Jim said, good for you, young lady. Keep it up. You'll have a wonderful life enjoying the outdoors. Chuck said, pure happiness. Look at that smile. And Jason and Lee also shared some photos in the comments of who I'm assuming are their daughters, their young daughters, who are also ice fishing. So go check that out in the comment section as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Some really nice pictures in here. And absolutely love this. Love that if you're sportsman, woman, hunter, angler, whatever the case, that you're not just exposing this to your kids, but teaching them, you know, safety when it comes to this, and, you know, teaching them to be, you know, effective in what they do, be good at it. Because those of us who tried it a little later in life, it's a little bit harder, you know. But yeah. Now you're not living near like a frozen lake. You got Lake Michigan down there by you, but any ice fishing experience or enjoyment on your part?
No ice fishing, but me and my kids, we love to fish during the summer. And my daughter, she has a fishing club at school, and she's actually the captain during like the spring. So she's in
the fishing club. Captain of the fishing club. Where do we do most of this fishing?
It's a little pond at a park over nearby the school's Humboldt Park. And it's a pond, and she catches like plenty of fish every time we go with the family. She's always the one who catches something, even when no one else does. She can take the fish off the hook. She'll hold it. She's not afraid.
That's wonderful. That's great. Good. Well, like I said, you can see this post and encourage. You know, I always love every year there's the thing about take a kid fishing. Couldn't agree more. Do that. And hey, send in your photos. We always love to see them on social media. When we come back, more with Sherita. We're using our holiday shows to spend a little extra time with our regular guests, get to know them a little bit better. So Sherita's going to stick around, and we'll talk with her more right after this break, including the Midwest Farm Report. This is Up North.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
My winter nights are taken up by static stress. Holiday shopping trash.
We're back now on Up North News Radio with our social media manager, Sherita Booker. And as you've noticed, kind of a theme here for our holiday shows is where there's a little less business getting done and a little bit more conversation. You hear these voices, you don't get to know a lot about the folks behind the scenes, and so I'm glad we've got a little bit of time here during the season to do that. Sherita, good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, Pat. Good. How are you?
Good, thanks. Let's start with a little holiday tradition here. Tell me about the things that you like most doing, you and the kiddos, for the holidays. I think I asked you this once before, but remind me what you guys really like to do.
We like to visit my grandparents because I grew up in that house. It's been in our family for 55 years. We go over there every Christmas. My grandma gets plenty of gifts for everyone, and by the time we leave, literally our car is full from the trunk to the inside because there's so much we are packed in there, and my kids complain the entire way home, but at the same time they get all the gifts, so they're really not that mad about it. But we are like packed in the car on our way home from Christmas.
That sounds like fun. What were holidays like when you were younger? Did you grow up in Milwaukee?
Yeah, I grew up in Milwaukee on the north side, same area, same house my entire childhood. The holidays it was fun because on Christmas Eve, the entire family would come over and we would literally stay up till midnight and open presents. So it was like such a memorable moment when I think back, and I wish I could do that for my kids, but we just do a little something different. I was just the traditional wake up Christmas morning pretty early and open the gifts. But that's something I always remember, just all of us being together and, you know, waiting up till midnight and it's time to open the gifts, and it's just there's stuff everywhere, and everybody's leaving the house very late at night and, well, early morning, actually.
But yeah.
That's great.
Is it just a lot of talking? Any particular organized games or movies that you watch every year? Anything like that?
No, it's just a lot of talking. My family, we just like to do a lot of reminiscing.
See, now, that was my family growing up as well, is that, I mean, there was a TV on. Not a lot of games, but just a lot of banter, a lot of laughter. Meanwhile, I marry into this farm family that's all about sheep's head. And they'll play sheep's head for hours and hours and hours, year after year after year, you know, week after week after week. But that's their tradition, and they love that very much. Our family is kind of like yours. We're just here for the talking.
Yeah, and I have no idea what sheep's head is. Never heard of it.
Sheep's head, the card game?
Yeah.
Have you heard of euchre?
No.
Oh, see, now it's a whole different category of games, card games that, again, I wasn't exposed to until I married Sherry. And was out in Manitowoc County and realized that there's all kinds of games. Now, for me and Sherry, we started early on with cribbage. And I can't tell you how many thousands of games of cribbage we've played over the years. We always take a cribbage board with us on vacation. It's a very easy two-person card game to play. But yeah, I'd never heard of Sheep's Head either. So, you know, everybody's got their own thing, but you guys didn't have necessarily cards or games or even outdoor sports. God, I was talking to somebody the other day. Their thing still at their advanced age is they have to go out and do an outdoor football game every Thanksgiving, no matter what. And I'm like, you could break a hip doing that at your age, but they still try to do it, you know?
That's cute though. I love that. Keep the tradition alive.
Mm-hmm. Favorite foods that you do over the holidays? Are you guys like a turkey family, a ham family, anything like that?
Yeah, we always do turkey, but this might be random, but my grandma always makes lasagna.
No, I've heard of that before. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so we have like all the traditional stuff, like the turkey, mashed potatoes, veggies, sweet potatoes, the stuffing, all that. But then she also just makes the lasagna. So,
we teased Elizabeth Montemurrow the other time when she was here right around Thanksgiving about how their Thanksgiving tradition is making all of this handmade ravioli, and then they freeze it, and that's their big Christmas dinner is ravioli. So no, lasagna sounds perfectly fine to me.
Yeah, that's really cool. But my grandma, she makes like a huge pan. Actually, she makes a huge pan of everything she makes. Like, it's so much food. Like, she has boxes ready for us to put in to-go boxes. And then we, on top of all the gifts we're stuffed in the car with, we're stuffed with food too.
Oh man. All right. So that was kind of your growing up. Then, you know, what took you from childhood to adulthood in terms of like high school or other schools that you went to, if we were going to make you put your resume out there for us?
So I grew up on the north side of Milwaukee, but then I went to school in St. Francis, which is the suburb. Mm-hmm. And I took the bus there, and I went from K-4 to eighth grade. I went to the same school. It's called Willow Glen. Still there. And I live not too far from it now. But then I went to the same district, St. Francis High School, the entire 4 years. And then I went to Alverno College straight out of high school. Didn't work out because I was not ready for college. But then in my 30s, I went back and went to UWM and then graduated, finally.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I recall when you applied here, seeing your stuff from UWM, and I just thought, okay, we've got to get this person here. You know, there's just a lot of talent. And I mean, we feel so fortunate to have you here. But, you know, I don't know that any of us are in, you know, the forever kind of job. So don't get me wrong. I'm not pushing you out the door. But when you think, you know, 5 or 10 years down the line, what would be kind of a nice dream position to go to before your working years are done?
Oh, dream job. And this is what I wanted to be in journalism for. I always wanted to do some kind of investigative journalism and like focus on like true crime. I'm so into that. Like, I watch every true crime docuseries. It's my thing. And I would love to like work on a case and like uncover stuff and do deep dives. Like, I love that. So that's something like, I'm not there yet, but I'm always going to be looking forward to finding something in that lane.
That is, it's super cool because it's so not my lane. Mine is much more, hey, let's go find the happy stuff, or let's go do the political policy stuff. But I mean, thankfully some folks are doing these, because otherwise some of these mysteries, you know, would never be solved. But so you're watching all the crime shows, all the night, Datelines and all the whodunits, I suppose.
I watch all that. Dateline, and I love Dateline because they have endless amount of episodes. So there's always one I can pop on. I turn on HBO Max, the Investigation Discovery. I'm just typing in true crime and seeing what's new. I just love it.
All right. Well, we've got it down, folks. If I or anybody else at Up North News goes missing and you can't find a body, Sherita Booker is your person to talk to because she knows how to get rid of a body better than anybody else on this particular team. Hey, thanks for letting us just kick things around for a little bit. We don't need to be working so hard over this holiday season. We are going to be back at it so hard after, you know, the legislature gets going and the Congress gets going. So enjoy the rest of a relaxing holiday season, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
But still, I'm still just, I'm not a murder mystery, you know, true crime kind of person, but so many of my friends have like a borderline addiction to these things.
Yeah, honestly,
it kind of creeps me out a little bit.
Like, I like hearing the history of certain crimes, but like when it's just like they went on vacation and one of them came back alive, I'm like, I don't care about stuff you hear. I honestly, it might sound weird, but I think part of it has to do with the fact that one, when I was younger, I was really, really crazy about that stuff. I read a lot of books on serial killers and stuff, but I also grew up as a paper boy during Jeffrey Dahmer. And
ooh.
So I saw a lot of stories, and my uncle worked on the case, and like there was just a lot going on. So I think now I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to watch this comedy right now.
Right. That's always been me. It's like, you know, my entertainment does not have to rely on somebody dying. I'm happy laughing about something. But, you know, for those who do, again, somebody's got to solve these mysteries. And she mentioned, what was it, her grandma making lasagna. And we talked about Elizabeth's family making nearly 1,000, you know, raviolis by hand.
Yeah.
And how did I miss this fun fact about the Zepecki Baldoff residence that you sent over to me here?
Yeah, he was on the show yesterday and we were talking about it, and he said that, yeah, they get together and they make, he goes, it was a slow year this year. We only made like 70 or 80. I'm like, oh yeah, you know, because
70 or 80 what?
Polish sausages.
They make Polish sausages.
Polish sausages, like from scratch.
Wow.
They have the machine that cranks it out. In the casing, the whole thing, and
a literal sausage fest.
I said, well, you know, is there? Thank you. And I go, I said, well, you know, is there like a special Zepecki cocktail that happens? Is there like, you know, I'm thinking to myself, it's fun. We're doing the. He goes, oh no, this is serious. We get it done. Like we want to get the work done, so it's done, and we can move on to the fun times. The polar sausage, it has to happen. And they want, and he's like, takes a couple hours and they're done.
But it doesn't sound nearly as festive as, say, I've got a couple of friends who do the big cookie bake thing where, yeah, you know, the kitchen is packed and they make like 1,000 cookies and they decorate it and everybody's having fun. But this is just, you're literally a sausage factory for a little while.
Yep.
Well, it sounds right for Zepecki, given that that's what he does for a living is, you know, somebody's got to know how the sausage is made. Politics, so why not do it literally, right?
Exactly. Like, yeah, he's like, you think this is bad? I work in politics, this is nothing.
Yeah, that's a different kind of sausage making altogether. Look what I found here in March, way back when, the Mega Millions jackpot was over $1 billion.
Yeah.
It's been unclaimed for these nearly 9 months, and I guess finally somebody stepped forward and is ready to claim their jackpot, the fifth highest in the game's history. The player has chosen to remain anonymous. I think that's a good call by you, whoever you are.
Yeah.
And they took the just give it to me in a lump sum, and so they're going to get a check or whatever for $537 million.
And the government would be like,
before
I will
taxes.
Take, and the government would be like, I will take a lot of that and enjoy the rest of your hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, I was going to say, your hundreds of millions will still take you pretty far. Yeah. I think we're okay with that.
Yeah.
But I've always wondered about that. It's like, and I know there's probably, I could probably look it up, but what are some of the biggest jackpots that ended up never getting claimed because somebody just didn't even know, you know, they lost track of their ticket or threw it away, just never knew. Could you imagine you know, finding a ticket like, you know, 2 or 3 years later after it expired, you know, the heartache that would be involved in that.
I would burn it and never speak of it again. I wouldn't be like, hey, honey, guess what? I'd be like, nope. It's like it never happened.
It never happened. Nope, nope. We should note that, yes, we are aware that on terrestrial radio, there are some issues with the
and
signal
the app
going
as well.
Up. And on the app, and therefore the app as well, and that we have a crack team working on it right now. So we do know you're still seeing and hearing us over social media, so we appreciate you being here, and all the other folks will be joining us again really soon when we get those things back up and running. We're going to spend a lot of time in our second hour talking about the year that was, and we'll be joined by Daniel Hagen from WJFW-TV, Newswatch 12 and Rhinelander. But before we get to kind of reviewing all the state stuff, I'm not even going to have time to do it. We'll talk more about this later, maybe the next segment, maybe later. But I'm going to see if before the end of this segment, I can get through this partial list of VIPs that we lost in 2024. Here we go. This year, we lost O.J. Simpson, Pete Rose, Quincy Jones, Chris Christopherson, and you can interrupt to react to any of this if you want, Russian dissident Alexei Navalny, Joe Lieberman, Lou Dobbs, Charles Osgood, Bob Edwards from NPR, NBA legend Jerry West, Dikembe Mutombo, Willie Mays, Fernando Valenzuela, Bill Walton, Ricky Henderson, Chris Mortensen, James Earl Jones, David Soule, Joyce Randolph, who played Trixie on The Honeymooners, Donald Sutherland, Martin Mull, Bob Newhart, Maggie Smith, Terry Garr, Louis Gossett Jr., Shelley Duvall, Carl Weathers, Richard Lewis, John Amos, Shannon Doherty, Chuck Woolery, Sergio Mendez, Toby Keith, Eric Carmen, filmmaker Morgan Spurlock, Richard Simmons, Phil Donahue, and Dr. Ruth Westheimer. And all I ask you to do with that group is don't imagine it in some maudlin way. Just imagine that that's a cocktail party. And it sounds like one of those gossip columns where look at who all was at this gossip party. Oh, guess what? My phone is making noise because the radio station just came back on the air through the app. Well,
there you go.
Yes.
There you go.
But I can't figure out how to turn it. There. Okay, good. There
all go. I'm going to say is like they're probably a bunch of them saying, who's going to go talk to Woolery?
Back after this. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Oh yeah, we're starting real smooth here on Christmas Eve morning with a little Bee Gees for today's history lesson.
Hey, how deep is your love?
Sound like Barry White.
Something like that, yeah. Dan Hagen from WJFW, Newswatch 12 and Rhinelander joins us for today's history lesson. Dan, you doing well?
I'm doing great. Vacation treats me well. I'm off this whole week.
You are? Yeah, I was going to say, you're in new surroundings, family cabin, I understand.
Family cabin in Minocqua. We've got a beautiful lake in front of me, though it is too dark. Why are you guys up this early? It's crazy.
I've been asking that question for a year and a half.
Yep. And we keep giving them a paycheck. And, you know, someday I'm hoping to earn one of those, too.
So you get paid?
We do it for love. We do it for love. Let's see. We've got the Bee Gees playing How Deep Is Your Love? Because on this day in 1977, it was the number one song, finally knocking Debbie Boone off the top of the charts. You Light Up My Life.
Thank God.
Had been the number one song for what was then a record 12 straight weeks before the Bee Gees came along. And then they owned the charts in 1978. The number one song this day in 1988 was by Poison.
But I guess that's why they say every rose has its thorn.
Couples skate only. Couples skate only.
Yeah, I was going to make a prom joke. I don't know who played at Dan's prom, but Dan, where'd you go to high school?
North. I did not enjoy prom. It was too much hype.
It's not. Okay. It's a lot of money for not a lot of. I don't know. It's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be just a nice little school dance, and we've turned it into such a production number now. But yeah, Poison was number one for 3 weeks, starting this week in 1988. Happy birthday to Ricky Martin. He turns 53 today. Ricky was born 53 years ago today in San Juan, Puerto Rico, which also means that on this day in 1988, when Ricky turned 17, he was officially aged out of the boy band Menudo, where that was the rule. It's like, okay, you're 17, get out. We got to bring another young voice in. So he moved to New York City, started a solo career, released his first album in 1991, and has done all right for himself. So
that Menudo documentary is banana pants.
Really?
Oh.
There's a documentary about Menudo?
Yeah, guess what? The guy who ran the band, not the best person in the world.
No.
Shocking.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. His whole life was manipulating young boys for like 30 years. He was weird. Who knew?
Now he's up for a cabinet post. Yep. Dr. Anthony Fauci is 84 years old today. Ryan Seacrest is 50. And former Packer Devontae Adams is 32 today. On this day in 1968, the crew of Apollo 8 entered into orbit around the moon. This was the number one song, Christmas of 1968, by Marvin Gaye. The crew of Apollo 8 performed 10 lunar orbits, took the first famous Earthrise photograph, broadcast live, and read the first 10 verses from Genesis. Again, this weekend, this Christmas Eve in 1968. So, Dan, you're at the family cabin now, so take us through the holiday here. We've been asking folks about any holiday traditions or holiday meals, or what are you going to do that's special this week?
Well, we make all of our Norwegian blood count, and we made lefse yesterday. So this involves potatoes and butter and salt, and you mix it into kind of small hockey pucks. You freeze it, and then you put it on a lefse grill, and you make these beautiful, very thin kind of pancakey things, crepe things.
I am absolutely blown away at how many families have these various food traditions. There was the ravioli. We just talked about Zapecki and the Polish sausages. Now you and lefse. This is incredible.
Today we're making meatballs, Norwegian meatballs. So it just goes on and on and on and on.
Wow. That is just super impressive. I mean, we open up a slurpy can of cranberry, gelled cranberries, and call it good, you know. But
you know, we've made this green jello. It was for my grandma for years. It's in like a bunch-shaped cake, and it's absolutely horrid. And
yeah. It's horrid.
There's cottage cheese in it and green jello and stuff.
No, not the cottage cheese green jello bundt cake thing.
I love cottage cheese so much. I mean, I can't say with jello, but
no.
It's an abomination.
It's all we had. We were growing up. We had nothing.
It's just a crime against food right there. Although I can't hear green jello anymore without thinking, you know, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation and Chevy Chase going, she wrapped her damn cat with the cat food in the jello. This is a National Consumer Rights Day, and a very short calendar today. This is Eggnog Day. Any eggnog being consumed at the Hagen family Christmas?
It's so funny you mentioned that. We never really have eggnog, but I've added it to my coffee the last few days, and it kind of is all right.
Okay. There we go. It seems to be the season for it. Eggnog or Tom and Jerry mix, hot buttered rum, all those things really good. So, all right. And then finally, do you have a special or favorite holiday soundtrack, song, artist, anything like that? For me, it's John Denver and the Muppets, A Christmas Together. But anything from you?
I can't say. We watched The Grinch the other day with Jim Carrey. It's some great tunes, but I love McCartney's wonderful Christmas.
Oh, stop it, jeepers. All right, we'll deal with this after the news. Finally, on this day in 1818, a church choir in Austria introduced a new Christmas song for their midnight mass called Silent Night. And this is the version that John Denver and the Muppets did for their TV special back in the late 70s. More with Dan Hagen from WJFW, and we'll talk about the year in review coming up after news and more on Up North News Radio. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
the national news cycle never stops. But it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.